It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy your day, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the ministry of Torso, Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. We hope you had a wonderful day yesterday. We were not on the broadcast yesterday, and we will always announce that. Sometimes we don't announce it several days ahead, but we always announce it the day before. But we just realized the day before that we would not be able, based on some traveling we had to do, to be on the broadcast. So we're glad to be with you today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24 and Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The Lord has blessed me with a wonderful wife, and she will pray for us at this time. She might be muted. I don't know if she's muted. There may be something wrong with the connection. I'll go
Father
ahead.
Father in heaven.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. We thank you now for this time to be able to come and to have worship, to open up your word and be able to hear from you this morning. We ask for the anointing words to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us in this day of preparation as we prepare for your holy Sabbath. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have an opening song for you, brothers and sisters. It is, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
about time. Our topic today is the children of Israel prepare to hear God's law. The children of Israel prepare to hear God's law. It may just actually be Israel prepares to hear God's law. We're in Exodus chapter 19, and it begins by reading the following. And let me know, I'm kind of propping my phone up. If anyone does not hear me well, let me know. But I'm if you all can hear me well, I think I can read better with the phone the way I have it. Okay. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day, sorry, I just did something wrong here. Okay, hold on. Okay. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came unto the wilderness of Sinai. For they departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert. Do not hear you with the sound. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so I probably need to bring it a little closer. Okay, I'll just bring it a little closer. That's all right. I'll start all over. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Okay? Verse 2. For they departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Now, brothers and sisters, they hadn't heard God's law. I want to share something with you because a lot of people don't understand. We heard someone say yesterday that God gave an awesome law. He gave 10 commandments. And then they said, but we can't keep it. And then they said, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That was error in that statement, brothers and sisters. With the help of God, we can keep his law. And that particular doctrine that we can't keep God's law only came out because people don't want to keep the holy Sabbath. They don't want to accept the fact that God has holy time that he has set aside. And on that day, we should be worshiping him. That is what he had his people do in the Bible. And the Bible is the standard, my friends. And so we come up with this doctrine that we can't obey. And so that's why there's so much crime in the world. Because even if people did go to church, they're hearing the preacher say, you can't overcome. So when they feel an urge to hurt somebody, to abuse somebody, or to get their way, they've already been learning at church that we can't overcome. So, okay, well, you know, I'll just do it and God will forgive me. And so we have a very low standard of Christianity within Christianity because of that view. All because that view is put out there because people don't want to obey the Holy Sabbath, my friends. The devil, that's part of his plan because, see, God, the devil wants to be like the Most High. Write this down, Isaiah 14, 14. He wants to be like the Most High. So if you want to know his plan, you would say, what is the Most High like, since he wants to be like the Most High? Okay, I want to ask someone else if they would let me know. The same person said I still sound fuzzy, and my phone is right by my mouth. So I want to know from someone else if I'm coming in clear. And if I'm not, maybe it's just a bad connection. I'll hang up and call back. So if I could get a text from someone else, and it may be this dear sister's phone, and I want to know if it's her phone, or I want to know if I'm coming in clear. Okay, so the answer is yes. What does yes mean? I need to know if I'm coming in clear or if I'm coming in fuzzy. Loud and clear. Okay. All right, my dear sister, I believe it's your phone. And so we need to, maybe you should call back in and see if you get a better connection, okay? Do that for us, please. All right, thank you so much. I get it, everybody. You all can stop sending them. I got several messages letting me know I'm coming in clear. All right. So God wants a peculiar treasure to him. He wants us to be his peculiar treasure. He wants to give us his law. His law is the standard of righteousness. And if we could not keep it, he would be a tyrant because he would be asking us, commanding us, as a matter of fact, to do that which was impossible to do. How would you think of a parent who commanded their child to do something that it was impossible for the child to do? Now, what God commands us to do is not do right in our own strength. He commands us to do right in his strength. That's the command. So we can do right in his strength. We can. And so when we are not doing what is right, friends, we have a lack of faith, okay? We have a lack of faith. We're not trusting that he will do in us what he said he will do. He promised to make us a new creature as we depend on him. So I just want to bring to your attention as we begin with the first several verses that God said he wanted us to keep his covenant. The covenant that God was talking about was the new covenant, friends, the covenant that he gave with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, if you go back to Exodus, I think it's Exodus hold on a second. Let me find it for you. I think it's Exodus chapter 3. But give me a second. Okay, I'm going to find this verse because I've quoted it before, but I think it's important to understand. Okay, so as we get to Exodus chapter 2, it says, "And God heard their groaning." This is the groaning of the children of Israel. "And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." So my brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that, watch this, I'm going to give it to you. It's in Galatians, I'm sure, Galatians chapter 3. Okay, I've got to get that right. Give me a second. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." It says in Romans 4:3, "But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So, my brothers and sisters, Abraham the covenant with Abraham was the new covenant, okay? Abraham is the example that the New Testament, the new covenant, says is an example of righteousness by faith. As a matter of fact, as Abraham dealt with Sarah, that was used as the new covenant, but Abraham dealing with Hagar, that was an example of the old covenant because in his own strength he was trying to have a child. You get that? So the new covenant is obedience by faith, righteousness by faith. We have to be forgiven. It includes forgiveness of the past, for all have sinned, but then it also includes obedience by faith. So when God, we had a discussion yesterday about being perfect. Perfect simply means I'm right now living in obedience to God. You don't have to sin right now. And you're probably not sinning right now if you're listening to this broadcast, because if you wanted to go out and sin, even in thought, you probably wouldn't call this broadcast. Now, I can't judge, but I'm just simply saying you don't have to sin all the time. You don't have to sin ever because God is there. Now, we have sinned. All of us have sinned. But that's the point. God is walking us through the walk of a Christian life. He's giving us tokens of his love and his mercy. And when we fall, he's there. So he teaches us lessons from that last fall, and so that we would understand, okay, watch out when this happens, because this leads you this way. And so he gives you time to learn and grow and mature as a Christian. But with his help, we can overcome. And so the whole Sabbath Sunday issue is based on the character of God. Some say that God is such that he made a law you can't keep, so we don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's what it's based on. So when you don't worship on the Sabbath, brothers and sisters, you're giving power, or at least evidence, that that lie has some strength to it. But it does not have strength to it. God's law is perfect. God is perfect. And the time he set aside for holy worship is the time that we should set aside. And this lesson that we're in, brothers and sisters, even the lesson as we talk about, you know, preparing to meet God, it teaches us lessons of holiness and reverence, okay? And notice what it says, that when they kept God's law, that it says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Where do we read that, friends? I'm going to show it to you. I think Peter said it. All right. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. That's people in the new covenant. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's the same thing he said to them when he was giving them his law, my brothers and sisters. So I'm here to tell you that it's God's law that sets us apart as we have right doing, keeping the law by faith. Then when we do that, God calls us a holy nation, a peculiar people, brothers and sisters. And so he says we are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So it said it again. I just want to bring out that in the Old Testament, it's the same as the New Testament. They were set apart as they were obedient by faith. So God was offering this obedience because it was the same thing he gave to Abraham, and he gave Abraham obedience by faith. He helped Abraham. He walked with Abraham, and that's how Abraham was obedient by faith. God says when he was delivering the children of Israel, he remembered the covenant that he gave with Abraham. So when he's telling them to keep the covenant, he's telling them to keep the same covenant. We're going to see in this chapter why it's called the Old Covenant and why there were two. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Now, they didn't say we'll do it with God's help. We'll do it by faith. They said we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, you have to understand, these people were learning how to be Christian, so to speak. They were learning the ways of the Lord. They didn't know, so they should have kept their mouths shut. They hadn't even heard the law yet, but they responded impulsively and abruptly, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. There's nothing wrong with the statement if you understand it to mean, with God's help, I will be obedient with God's help. He will help me through, and I will make it through, and I will be obedient by the grace of God. There's nothing wrong with that statement, brothers and sisters, if it's said in righteousness by faith, with the mindset of righteousness by faith. But that was not their mindset. They were saying, we will do it. Therefore, they were adding a covenant to God's covenant. God's covenant is not you do it by yourself. God's covenant is in my strength, I will help you, and together you will overcome. Together with me, you will overcome. That's the covenant he offers us. Man said, I'll do it by myself. All you say it, I'll do it. And therefore, that's why you have two. Why is it called old? Because if you go to Exodus 24, we'll read that at another time. But it said, they said the same thing after the law had been spoken. And in Exodus 24, a lamb or an animal had been slain, and that ratified through the blood of that animal, that covenant. So it was ratified first, and the new covenant or the everlasting covenant could not be ratified until Jesus came. So the old covenant of righteousness by works was ratified by blood before the ratification of righteousness by the covenant of righteousness by faith. So that's why it's called old and this one's called new. But the original covenant, the everlasting covenant, has always been the new covenant. It did not come after the old. It came before the old. The old was just ratified first. And when mankind messed up, because soon after they promised to do everything right, they made a golden calf and had another god before God, my friends. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Friends, we need to recognize that there is, even in our practical life, our clothing, our home, we should have our homes clean for the Sabbath, for example. We should not come to God any kind of way. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that when you come before God, the Bible says the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. When you read about Miriam and the children of Israel at different times dancing and taking timbrels, that was never in the sanctuary. Never. You will not find a single verse where they did that within the precincts of the sanctuary, my friends. When you praise God in the sanctuary, that's not with dancing and those celebratory type of instruments. You will see them doing that after battles won, that they should have lost. Okay, you will see them praising God when he had done great miracles. Sometimes it's just hard to sit still, and that was that type of praise outdoors with timbrels, and they were jumping up and down. It wasn't this sensual dance that you see here that you see in the club, brothers and sisters, and those types of dance moves. That was not what they did, and God's way would be different than the way of the world. The beat would be different. The cadence would be different. The sound should be different. There should be something different about coming into the presence of an almighty God than it is when we just than the music styles in a club. And so that's what we've done. Unfortunately, friends, people have brought the music styles of the club into the church, and God is dishonored. And I have told you all before, you can research it yourself. Look up Vatican II. Vatican II. It was in the early 1960s, and it was a time where Catholics and Protestants came together, and in coming together, they decided that they would change the way we do church and make it more celebratory, more of like a celebration service. And that's what happened in Catholicism. In some Catholic churches, they do the same thing. They have the bands and the music, even in a Catholic church. I've been there. I went to a church. There was a funeral, and it was at a rock church. Rock Church was a Catholic church. It's in St. Louis, Missouri, and they rock at the rock church, friends. And, you see all the pomp and circumstance, and some people say, well, you shouldn't have gone into a Catholic church. Well, I did, okay? So I have to pray about it. Would I do it again? I'd have to pray about that, friends. That's all I can tell you. But I was a young man. I went to that church to pay my respects, to give comfort to a family. That was many, many years ago, and they were boom, boom, to the left, boom, boom, to the right. I'm talking about all the pomp, all the reeds and the whatever they walk down, the flags and stuff. Those things were rocking to the beat, and it was just like the music of a club, and that was a Roman Catholic church. Of course, you see it in other churches, Holiness churches, Kajik, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal. You see it now in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, and you see it in Seventh-day Adventist churches, not all of them, and not all of them in every denomination. But I am here to tell you it's the popular movement that has come along, and it is that same movement where you find those churches doing that. A lot of times, for the most part, I'm not saying in all cases, but for the most part, you see a compromise with the world, brothers and sisters. You see a compromise with worldliness and the acceptance of homosexuality as being all right with God. It's not all right with God, but you see it in those areas, friends, and you see more and more churches going to that. A lot of it is because they want government money. They don't want the government to take away their 501c3 status and so on and so forth, friends. And so they're not motivated by faith in doing these things. They're motivated by survival, And they should have never been in bed with the state anyway. God wants the church separated from the state, and he wanted his people to be in his jurisdiction so they might be a blessing to the state. You see, we have a solution to the debt problem. God has a financial accountability and debt relief principles in the Bible that if they were followed, friends, and those principles that are all right principles are biblical principles, even if people don't know they come from the Bible. The average person knows if you can get out of debt, you should. Well, the Bible tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender, okay? The Bible set up a plan where you could not be in debt for more than 7 years. The Bible had that plan. What if, man, if we adopted that plan, it would change the economy overnight. Can't be in debt for more than 7 years? That means within 7 years you would own your house. That means that the whole system would be made up different, friends. They would not it would just be different, that people would build them different, occupy them different or whatever. I don't know. But the bottom line, friends, is that it's not based on that. We have an economy that's based on debt. So a lot of the richest men in the world are made rich. And I say men, meaning men and women, by helping other, causing other people to be in debt and in some type of bondage. God wants us to be free. So there's so many things. Let's read on. And be ready against the third day, for the third day will I come down in the sight of the people up on Mount Sinai. It says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not into the mount, up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. We're not going to ignore anything the scripture says. People wonder what that means. Come not at your wives. Well, that basically meant that they would not do what married people do. They would, during that time, as they were about to prepare to hear the voice of God, that they would refrain from that pleasure, which the Bible says is a righteous pleasure. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So the Bible teaches that this wonderful act is one he made. It is also the act that allows for the wonderful blessing of children. I do reject, there are a group of people, they read the story of Onan, who was back in that day, the brother of a deceased man would marry his wife and would continue to allow seed in the brother's name to come forth, okay? And Onan took advantage of the pleasure of the event, but he didn't want to, must have had resentment against his brother. He didn't want to raise up seed for his brother. And so the Bible said he spilled his seed on the ground and God killed him. Well, there are some fanatical views regarding that. So some people have developed the fanatical view that sexual relations, even in a marriage, is only for procreation. So if you're not trying to make a baby, you're not supposed to do it. Friends, that's not in the Bible. And there's a lot of fanaticisms that have come, and I've seen a lot of things that people believe and teach that can't be supported in the scriptures. That man had an evil intent. He didn't want to raise up seed. He enjoyed the act. He was taking advantage of the woman, but then he didn't want to allow his seed to go in her to raise up seed for his brother. He must have had resentment against his brother. And so he's just taking advantage of the woman. And so God killed him for that. That is not, brothers and sisters, a prohibition of the marriage bed. So just know that there's just a lot that's been taught in the name of the Lord that turns people off. And God's ways are beautiful ways, friends. Now, however, when you are meeting with God, and as God is teaching a people that don't know him, he's adding this theory to help them understand that they should have a sober mindset, okay? Generally, your mindset is more of a, even if it's righteous pleasure, it's more of a righteous pleasure mindset when you think about that particular activity. But God wanted them to have he was teaching them the way of the Lord. So they had to have a mindset of sobriety and holiness, okay? And that was, this is the same people who just said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So it was kind of an old covenant mindset that they had. So God was trying to help them understand how righteous and how holy he was. As it relates to the New Testament, all I can give you is what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and we're looking at verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, that means stop stepping on it, okay? And listen carefully, because a lot of people say, okay, I'll worship God, but then we go to the store, go shopping, we go to the movies, we just do a lot of things that don't keep our minds on God. There's a way to keep the Sabbath, friends, and it's not just because you say, okay, I had a little worship thought. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, that means stop stepping on it, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. So God says that things that just bring us pleasure, that don't point our minds to him per se, okay, we should not do. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So I just want to share the principle. The principle simply is, on the Sabbath day, we should have pleasures that are focusing on God, okay? Not our own pleasure, not our own words, and not our own ways. So think of ways, pleasures, and words, okay? Ways, pleasures, and words. That doesn't mean that Sabbath is drudgery. It's just that the pleasure of the Sabbath should focus on God. Now, between what you do as a married couple is between you and God. Some might argue that they can engage and be focusing on God. I'm not here to be prescriptive, brothers and sisters. I am just going to tell you what the biblical principle is. What we do on the Sabbath should bring our minds to God, okay? And so we have ways to consider, we have words to consider, and what was the other one? Ways and pleasures to consider. So, for example, it's pleasurable to go on a hike, but a hike in nature can definitely keep your mind on God, okay? You focus on God, but you still enjoy the walk, okay? So I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to tell you the Bible says our ways, our pleasures, and our words should focus on God. Now, I can tell you that we should be careful in what we say. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're going to talk about bills on the Sabbath, you shouldn't be all thinking about all the bills you can't pay. It should be, if you mention it, you should be giving a testimony about how God provided. You see what I'm saying? So if you're going to talk about something that happened secularly in the news, then it should be something that maybe you're talking about from the perspective of how close we are to the coming of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Not just this political talk. You know, I go to some churches and I hear arguments about Trumpism versus Bidenism, Republicanism versus the Democratic thinking, and you hear these people going back and forth in the church. Or even if they're not going back and forth, they're all talking about why Trump is better or why, you know, the Biden plan is better or whatever the case might be. That's not Sabbath talk, friends. And Jesus is coming very soon. And nations, including the United States, are in Bible prophecy, particularly the United States. And we are told that the United States is going to speak like a dragon, that our rights will be taken away. I'm here to tell you the Republicans are taking away our rights by causing confusion as it relates to the Constitution. That happened on January 6th. It was in the name of the Constitution that the insurrection took place, friends. save our country, you know, save our Constitution. That was said. It was a perversion of the Constitution, brothers and sisters. And the Democratic Party comes along, does the same thing. They use the Constitution and say that if I want to have a relationship, if I'm Adam and I want to have a relationship with Steve instead of with Eve, that's my constitutional right. No, that's not your constitutional right, friends. That's called fornication. And fornication is whether it's man and woman, man and man, it's still fornication. The Constitution doesn't make a civil wrong a civil right. They've got it all wrong. But they used that, and they even connected with Black Lives Matter because they knew that that would catapult a Gay Lives Matter. So the main proponents of Black Lives Matter were the homosexuals, and it was actually two lesbians that started that movement. Most of the money that was raised in that nonprofit did not go to help the Black community. It went to help the gay community, brothers and sisters. And so all I'm trying to tell you is you get all caught up in these political parties, you're going to be in trouble, because that's not what is going to finish the work. And that the work that they do does not please God. It is not about religious freedom and righteousness and holiness. It's about bloodshed and taking over the country by force, whether we use it by mobs and crowds and get more people on our side for the vote, or if we just do it through physical violence, whatever. It's not of God. There will be a national Sunday law that the Bible predicts, and all of this perversion of the Constitution will cause the world to give up its religious freedom principle in the United States. That's what the Bible predicts. That's what the mark of the beast is all about. If you don't know about it, contact me. I'll share more information with you. But friends, what is this saying? God is trying to tell us that there is a level of holiness that we need to have, and he wants us to understand that when we consider the Sabbath, you and your wife, you and your husband, you all talk about it as a couple, but just keep in mind, God wants our ways, our words, and our pleasures to be focused on heaven at that time when we're particularly there to meet with him. And it's a beautiful thing for me to say, I've told you what the Bible says, and you and your husband and your wife and your family can come together and pray about things and see what God is saying to you. That being said, there are definitely things that we do, pleasurable friends, we know that are fine, and that is that going out in nature, of course, worshiping God in his holy sanctuary, worshiping God in nature, going out in nature, taking our children out in nature where they can see the sights that God has made, and those pleasures will be heavenly pleasures. Show them spiritual lessons that they might see if they can find spiritual lessons out in nature. That's a beautiful way. You know, and I've thought about something, you know, even people that don't know God, they love nature. You know, I didn't realize until recently how Central Park was laid out. And you see all of New York City, if you see an aerial view, and you see this huge park. And I didn't realize how huge that thing was. And all those people, that's their haven. That's the only nature you have in New York, Central Park. Okay? But people love it. That shows you that there's a connection, and God is still pulling at people through nature. All right, friends, let's wrap this up, and then we'll have a lesson. We'll have a break and then come back and hear Sister Lenny share with us. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests, the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. All right, we're going to close with that, friends. We'll take a little break, come back and hear Sister Lenny. I want to remind you that on Sunday, we start our wellness, holistic wellness coaching course, and it's with lesson one. I'm sorry, it's the introductory lesson. That introductory lesson has powerful health information. It is not just a lesson that tells you what you're going to learn. It's a lesson that you need, but we're making it free so people get a feel for it. And then if you're interested in registering, lesson one, the last 12 of the last 12 lessons, will start on August 27th. Some people, I think somebody said they were having a little hard time registering, so just reach back out to me if you're having a hard time registering. But go to our website, torso.org. You'll read all about it on the homepage. You hit the register button. There'll be some redundant information, but you'll see a area where you can sign in, okay, your name and address and all of that. I don't think it's your address. I think it just asks for your name and email address, because we have to be able to contact you, because registered students only will be able to get the information on the Zoom links for the future, okay? So just be aware of that. Then there's a box, several boxes, where you can choose a payment plan. If there is something that you need to talk to me about regarding a payment plan, just reach out to me. God bless you, and we'll sign out at this time. We'll hear the torso song at this time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved, are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Tucson, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
All right, my brothers and sisters, our topic today is banished health from head to toe. Sister Lenny will be sharing with us in just a moment. And the next voice you will hear will be her voice.
Good morning. Happy, happy Friday. Banish stress from head to toe. Anxiety is a product of confusion in both the mind and the body. So in order to eliminate stress, you need to restore order to both. Progressive muscle relaxation forces you to use your muscles and your brain to systematically reduce anxiety and restore calm. It sounds a lot more complicated than it really is. Simply lie down in a quiet room, if possible, or find a peaceful place where you can sit comfortably without interruption. Start at the top of your head and move down to your toes, tightening and then relaxing your muscles. Here's how. Tighten your facial muscles and hold for 5 seconds, then release. Repeat with your shoulders, arms, and hands, followed by your butt, hips, and thighs, and then your calves and ankles. Your feet and toes should be last. Next, reverse the process, starting from your toes and tighten each muscle one by one, moving up the body to your feet, then your calves, without releasing them. Once you've tightened up all your muscles, hold your body for 5 seconds and then release the muscles one by one from head to toe. Finish by taking deep, slow breaths until you don't even remember why you ever felt stressed at all. I also want to give you 7 food items that has been very helpful to a lot of people that have shared with me that who have stress, and they're telling me that these items have helped them tremendously. The first one is avocado. Avocados are an excellent source of B vitamin, and so they maintain healthy nerves and the brain. Basil. Basil is full of vitamin A, C, K, and iron. It detoxifies the body, and it is an anti-stress agent. Then you have berries. Berries is loaded with vitamin C. They relieve stress, and they protect the cells. Nuts. Nuts are full of zinc and balances the mood. Seeds, and that's all seeds, also zinc, and helps the immune system and the nervous system. Spinach. Spinach is full of magnesium. They lower high blood pressure, and they help with cortisol levels. And that's also with kale, Swiss chard, and bok choy. Whole grains. Whole grains also has magnesium. They combat anxiety. Those are the 7 items that has helped people tremendously. And then you have your teas. Chamomile, green tea, and turmeric teas are excellent for stress. If you would like this exercise that I just shared with you, if you contact me, I'll be glad to send it to you. It's not a big article, and you can reach me at 302-588-0102. That's 302-588-0102. This morning's, that exercise came from a book called Uncommon Cures for Everyday Ailments, page 62. Thank you so much, and may God bless you with an everlasting love as you continue to better your health.
Amen. Praise God. Roll call. We have the country of Greece. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. We have my dear brother Carl. I'm not sure where he lives. We have the country of Africa in Kenya. We have, I'm going to believe that's Massachusetts. My sister, please forgive me if I got it wrong. We have Virginia. We have North Carolina. And we have a brother, Michael. I'm not sure where he is from. On the call, we have Ohio. Ohio again. We have Pennsylvania, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again. We have Michigan, we have New Jersey, we have Oklahoma, we have Ohio again. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma again. We have Michigan, and we have Georgia. On Facebook, you can go ahead and press star 6 if anyone has a comment or question. We have a good morning from Sister Vicky. We have a good morning from Brother Peyton. Good morning from Sister Tuesday. That's her name. And a good morning from Sister Salita. And if anyone has a comment, please press star 6. So I want to mention there's a few people. It might not be right after the broadcast, but I do plan to give you all a call. And some people asked me to give them a call about the course coming up. The introductory lesson is free, so everybody should be involved in that. There are payment programs for the certification course. It's $650, and there's 4 payment programs. There's 1 payment, 2 payments, 3 payments, or 4 payments. If you are interested in the course and just cannot do either of those payment programs and might need some, let's say, additional time, something of that nature, just reach out to me and we will make it happen. Our goal is to train as many people as possible, and we wanted you to get involved at this time. So it's on Sunday mornings. The first lesson is August 6th. The next one's not till August 27th. Okay, so that gives people time to think about it, you know, but only registered students, and we have to have your information so we know how to contact you. Only registered students will have the Zoom information. So the class is taught over Zoom. Myself, my wife will be the teachers, and it will be a really very informative course. There will be some simple quizzes that you can do that you could have a link to do your little quiz. And if you, you know, don't get something right, we'll let you know. You're going to A, B, C, D, F type thing. If there's something you may not fully understand, we want to make sure you grasp the material. That's what education was all about. It was the Jesuits that came up with this A, B, C, D, F type thing so that people could compete for the highest grade. The goal of the teacher in true education is to make sure students get the information. So every student that wants the information will pass the course. It's just a pass or not pass course, and you can all pass because we'll make sure you get the information, okay? So that's how God does it. There's nobody in the queue. May God bless you. We will be on tomorrow morning in the morning on Sabbath at our usual time. Then we will have Sabbath worship also, and then on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. This is the introductory course this weekend, Sunday morning at 8. If you go to torso.org, you will actually see a link that gets you right into the Zoom meeting. And let me verify that. It might send you to the other. There's a partner. We're partnering with New Hope Mission, and that's a ministry that we're partnering with. They're doing some of the coordinating for the school. We're conducting the school. If you go down, yes, the Zoom link is there. So it's right on the website, torso.org. The Zoom link is there. But if you keep scrolling down after reading and you go to register, you're going to go to the Creators RX website, which is hosted by New Hope Mission. And a lot of the information is redundant information. It shares, but they have the sign-up form to register. You have to put your name, email, phone, and address because there are things that have to be shipped to you. There are things that may have to be emailed to you. We have to be able to contact you. Your information is not going anywhere. We're not sharing it, selling it to anybody or anything like that. You can call or text them as far as coordinating and that kind of thing. But if you, there are some payment options. So if you need some additional options, let's just say it that way. If you need some additional options, then contact me about that. If you can't focus on those, and I will work that out with you. Okay, God bless you. There's no reason why anybody can't get one who wants to be. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace. At this time, it's the top of the hour.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be to come and have worship, open up your word, and hear from you this morning. Now we pray as we go throughout this day, your spirit to continue to abide with us, guide, leading, directing, and instructing, and help us to be ready to welcome in your holy Sabbath. We ask that you would give us special blessings on this day, Lord, for healing, spiritually, mentally, and physically. All these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. I will trust in the Lord is our closing song.
I will trust in the Lord. I will.